Welcome to Charadi Mechanach, Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Michal Horowitz. Today we'll be studying Sefer Melachim Aleph Perek Vav. So what happens in this Pasuk is the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph, Vayhi b'shmonim shana v'arba me'ot shana letzei b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Yitzrayim b'shana haravi b'chodesh ziv. Hu hachodesh hasheni dimloch shloma al Yisrael la'yiven habayi la'Hashem. And it was in the 480th year from when the children of Israel left the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of the rule of King Shlomo, in which month? In the month of Ziv, Zayin Vav, which is the second month. So what is the second month? We know that Tanakh counts the months from Nisan. The second month is Iyar. We're in Chodesh Ziv, which is the Hebrew biblical name for what we call Iyar. In the Bashanah HaRevis, in the fourth year of the reign of King Shlomo, Vayivin Habayi LaHashem, he built the house for Hashem. I just want to point out the Ziv, okay? What does this word mean? We know when Yaakov leaves Be'er Sheva in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, Perachav Ches Abrejus, Vayetze Yaakov and Be'er Sheva, Vayele Charana. So Rashi tells us there, according to Medrash, Pana Ziva, Pana Hoda, Pana Hadara. Also in Perak Av of Megillas Rus, which I know we've referred to a few times in our study so far, when Rus and Naomi leave, when Rus leaves the fields of Moab, once again we are told, Pana Ziva, Pana Hoda, Pana Hadara. The splendor, the radiance, and the glory leaves a place when a tzaddik leaves a place. So Ziv means radiance. So it's very interesting that the second month that we call Iyar is the month of radiance. Perhaps why? Because if you go back to the book of Bamidbar, in the second year from Yitziat Mitzrayim, on the 20th of Iyar, on the 20th day of the second month, let's say B'nai Yisrael Meretz Yitzrayim, Bashana Hasheni, the cloud lifted up and the people of Israel started to travel away from Har Sinai, and we are really going into Eretz Kanaan, which of course is going to become Eretz Yisrael. Now those plans are thwarted. Ultimately, they don't make it in, but Moshe believes that in 3 days they are going to be in the land of Canaan. It is on the 20th of what we call Iyar, in the second year after Yitzhak Mitzrayim, that the cloud lifts up for the first time and the people journey along with the Mishkan that they constructed, and they're headed towards the land of Israel. Moshe says to Yisrael and Parshas Baloscha, come with us. We're going into the land. Rashi says in 3 days we're going to be there. Why is it called the month of radiance? Because this was supposed to be the month when the redemption would come to fruition. Yetziat Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, we are traveling into the Holy Land. It didn't happen, but the month is called Ziv, which means radiance. So, and Shlomo built the house for Hashem. V'abayit asher bana melech Shlomo Hashem shishim amah. Now, we have a lot of dimensions in this parak. We have a lot of details about the construction, about the different rooms, the hallway, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kruvim, the wood, the gold, the decoration, the annex that Shlomo built, the courtyard. There's a lot of details in this parak. And the house that Shlomo built for Hashem, Shishim Ama Arko, it was 60... did I miss something? No, Shishim Ama Arko, the Esrim Rachba. Its length was... I'm sorry, I was in the wrong pasuk. Okay. Pasuk Beis, V'habayda Sherbana Melech Shlomo Hashem Shishim Ama Arko. The house that Shlomo built for Hashem was 60 cubits in length, the Ashim Rachba, and 20 amot in width, Ushloshim Ama Komaso, and 30 cubits in height. Now, there was a hall before the sanctuary, V'ulam Al Pnei Heichal Abayit Ashim Ama Arko. There was a hallway before the sanctuary. The length was 20 cubits along the width of the house, Al Pnei Rochav Abayis, Esher Ba'ama Rachba, Al Pnei Abayis, and it was 10 cubits wide adjacent to the house. So this is a sort of hallway that is an external structure located in front of the temple. You had to go through this ulam, this hallway, in order to reach the sanctuary. Pasuk Dalet, Vayas Labai Chalone Shekufim Atumim. He also made windows for the house, recessed, narrowing windows. There is a machlokes if the windows were narrow on the outside and wide on the inside, which means little light is coming in. If they're narrow on the outside and wide on the inside, that shows that the light is internal. Others claim it was the opposite. The windows were narrow on the inside and broad on the outside. Furthermore, Pasuk Hei, Vayiven al kir habayit yatzia saviv, and he built around the, on the wall, I should say, of the house, he built an annex around. At Kiros Habayis Aviv Lahecha Vela Devir. Ah, for the walls of the house as well as for the Kosh HaKadoshim. I've told you before that the Devir, Dalet Beis Yod Resh, is the Kosh HaKadoshim. Why is it called that? Because Rabbi Zev Lefshtita explains that the word Devir is from the Shorosh Dibur, Ledaber, to speak. It is from the Kosh HaKadoshim, where God Shechina dwells, Kaviyacha, that the word of God emanates to the entire world. So we're told he built an annex, there are walls all around, for the sanctuary, for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Vayat Sola Otzaviv, and furthermore, he made chambers all around. And now it tells us in Pasuk Vav through Tas, actually through Yod, okay, we are told further details and dimensions of the construction of the walls surrounding the annex, how big these spaces were. And what I want to point out, okay, is Pasuk Zayim. V'habaye b'hibanato even shleima masa nivna. This is very important. We're going to have an insight here. And the house in its construction, the house meaning the Beit HaMikdash, even shleima. It was built of whole stones. Masa, they were transported, nivna, that's from what it was built. So it wasn't built piecemeal, it wasn't built from rocks that were put together. It was built from whole stones that were transported. Now, the Pasuk continues and tells you, umakavo vahagarzen ka kli barzel lo nishma babayit bihibanato. This is very, very important. Hammers, axes, and iron tools were not heard in the house during the construction. So this means that the quarrying and the cutting of the stones was performed in an entirely different location. Once the stones arrived, they were whole. There was no more cutting, no hammers, axes, or iron tools were present on the site of the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Whole stones. Now, this is very, very fascinating because there is a specific mitzvah de'oraisa, lav de'oraisa, actually found in Parshas Yisro. Okay, I'm going to say for Shmuel Perachav Pasuk Chav Beis, and the pasuk tells us right at the end of Parshas Yisro, the imisbech avanim tasavi, and when you will build an altar of stones for me, lo tivne eten gazi, do not build them out of hewn stone, H-E-W-N, carved cut stone. Ki charbachahi naft Allah, because if you wave your sword over the stones of the stone altar, vatichalala, you will have profaned the altar. It is forbidden when building an altar of stones to cut the stones. However they come out of the ground, that's how you have to cut them. You can't chisel them with a hammer and an anvil. You can't use iron over them. You can't use axes. However they come out of the ground, that's how you have to build the Mizbeach of Avanim. This is very interesting because, yes, these stones were taken out of the quarry and then they were cut. But for the Beit HaMikdash, they were not cut on site. We are specifically told that a hammer, it was not heard here. An axe, a hammer and anvil, would chisel away the stone. No iron tools were heard in the proximity and the area of the Beit HaMikdash while it was being built. Listen again, Malachim Aleph, Perek Vav Pasuk Zayin, Vabayit Bihibanato, Even Shleima, Masa Nivne, Umakavo, Vahagarzen, Kol Kli Barzel, Lo Nishma, Vabayit Bihibanato. So even though they did have to cut the stones, unlike the Mizbech, when it just comes out of the ground, and that's who you make it, not like Lego or Magnetiles, where everything is very neat and everything lines up. But the cutting was not done on site. There were no iron implements cutting stones. Once they came to the site of Beit HaMikdash, whole stones. That's what the pasuk says. Even shalima. Why? So I want to quote Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav. I'm quoting from the Sefer, the Rav, thinking aloud on the parasha Sefer Shemos. This is from a shir that the Rav gave in Yiddish in 1965. I'm not saying it in Yiddish. The transcript is in English. And the Rav quotes this pasuk from Shemos. In Mizbech Avanim Ta'asali, when you built an altar of stones for me, lo tivne eten gazi, do not make an altar of smoothed out stones. Ki char b'chay naftala v'techala. If you wave your sword, if you wave your cutting tools over, the altar will be defiled. So Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal, says, this is a very fascinating love. What is the seichel? Why did the Torah say the Mizbech cannot be built from cut stones? We have to take the stones as they come. It might not be as nice, and that's how we build the Mizbech. Why? I think the reason is simple, says the Rav. The Mizbech is a symbol of kapara, atonement, for the Bnei Yisrael. The Mizbech atoned for the sins. It was a symbol of kapara, of teshuva, of vidui, atonement, repentance, and confession. And it's interesting, very interesting, because when I went to get the sefer and get this piece to quote it, because I thought it was so interesting that Shlomo HaMelech did not have any hewn stones being done at the site of the Beit HaMikdash. No iron tools, no hammer and anvil, no axe. We're not cutting everything. Everything that comes to site of the Beit HaMikdash, Evan Shlema, perhaps founded on the fact that Evan Shlema, you need to build the stone altar with. So next, the Rav quotes, which I did not remember particular until I looked up ready, Malachim Aleph, Parachas, when Shlomo builds the Beit HaMikdash. The Rav says, quote, Shlomo HaMelech, when he inaugurated the Beit HaMikdash, he said, Eit asher yechta ish the re'ehu, if one sins to his friend, uva alalif name is b'chacha b'bayit hazeh, an oath will be taken before your altar in this house. The Rav quotes, two prakim later from our narrative, the Mizbech is a symbol for somebody's chashbon nefesh, an accounting of a soul. And we must do teshuvah. And what is the Indian here? The Rav says, when you say vidui, when a person brings a korban, they have to be, they say a vidui, an oral confession over the korban. When a person says vidui, he cannot rationalize himself. He cannot say, chatasi, I sinned. But you know, Ribbono Shel, it was hard. I had dagas ha-pranasa, I was worried about pranasa. I had sorrows. My yetzer hara strong. I'm weak. Mimela, I sinned. We cannot look for mitigating or extenuating circumstances when we sin. If a Jew wants to be melamed zchus upon himself when he's saying a vidui, then the vidui is not a vidui, it's a rationalization. It's worthless. Vidui is accusation. A person has to accuse himself. This is one of the greatest challenges. Therefore, says the Rav, the Mizbeach, which is a symbol of vidui and kapara, confession and atonement, has to be built from natural primitive stones. Avanim shlemo. That's what he quotes here. Avanim shlemo. What does our pasuk say? V'habayipi barato even shlemo. Exactly as they were dug out of the ground. You cannot cut the stones. Avanim shlemo. Don't cut the stones. It can't be too smooth because the mizbech is a symbol of vidui. When one comes with vidui, with a chatas, a confession, and a sin offering before the Ribbono Shel Olam, don't smooth yourself out. Stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam as you really are. Do not build the mizbech from smooth stones. The stones weren't so nice, says the Rav. They could have been cut and worked on with all types of implements. They could have been smoother. The mizbech would have been a lot nicer, but we do not do that. Why? The mizbech is a mirror of a natural person. The person must see his own reflection. Do not wave a sword over the stones when you come to the mizbech. Don't smooth yourself out before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mizbeach cannot be smooth because a person has to stand poshut with all his blemishes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, what is the Rav saying? The sword is a symbol of smoothing, philosophically, rationalizing yourself. And this you may not do. If you do that, your korban won't be accepted. We have to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu exactly as you are. Don't smooth yourself out. Hashem, this was my sin. This is what I did. This is my vidui. This is my quest for kapara. This is my korban. Not giving yourself extenuating circumstances and being melamed zchus upon yourself. So it is extremely interesting that when Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Habayi Bihi Banato, and the house as it was being built, Evan Shlema, complete stones on the site. Masa, they were carrying their nivra. That's how it was built. No iron tools of chiseling or cutting were heard in the entire house. Why? Because that would indicate smoothing out. And this place is a place where you stand before a Kodesh Baruch Hu as you are. Pasuk Yid Aleph. And of course, it's a Musar Hasko for us, even though Rachman Latzon, we do not have a Beit HaMikdash today. Nevertheless, we have to stand before a Kodesh Baruch Hu as we are. Every day in the Shemana Esrei, Slachlan Avinu Ki Chatanu, Mechalan Avinu Ki Bashanu. So what do? We stand and Mechalan Avinu Ki Bashanu. So what do? We make excuses. We say, spoke Hashanah, bah, I missed a davening. But I didn't ask the Shire about Kashrus. Bah, I was lax in this. But no, stand as you are before a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Don't smooth yourself out. Don't cut yourself down. As I am a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And I think that's an incredible message of Shlomo as he was building this Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Now Hashem appears to Shlomo. Vayhi Dvar Hashem al Shlomo Mlemar. And the word of God was to Shlomo saying, Habayit Azer Shah Taboneh, this house that you are building, Im Telech Bechukotai, Ve'et Mishpatai Tasa, Ve'shamarta, Et Kol Mitzvotai, Ve'lecha Pahem, if you go in my chukim, and you do my mishpatim, and you guard all my mitzvahs to go on their ways, Ve'hakimoti Et Vari Itach, I will uphold my word with you, that I spoke to David your father, Ve'shachanti B'toch B'nei Yisrael, very reminiscent of Parshas Truma, Shemot, make for me a sanctuary so I may dwell in your midst. Hashem says, if you keep my chupim, my chukim, my mishpatim, my mitzvos, and you go in the yashar way, I will uphold the covenant I made with your father, King David. V'shachanti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. My shechina will dwell amongst the children of Israel. V'lo ezov et am Yisrael. I will not abandon my children Israel. So God's presence resting among us is contingent upon who? Us. Of course Hashem wants to dwell amongst us, but Hashem comes to see, are we doing the chukim, the mishpatim, and the mitzvah? Are we walking on the path of righteousness? Then Hashem says, my shechina will dwell amongst you, and I will not abandon my nation Israel. And Shlomo built the house, and doesn't mean he finished it right now. It means he did what was necessary to bring it to finish, because you'll see at the end of the parak when it actually gets finished. Now the next psukim, we're now up to pasuk tesvav. Tell us about the walls that he built. They were made of cedar wood. They tell us the measurements of the walls, how many cubits it was. It tells us that there were braided fruits carved on, carved flowers. Everything was conducted from cedar. He prepared the Holy of Holies, Pasuk Yates, Vayiven et Esrim, no, that's not Pasuk Yates, Pasuk Yates, Udevir betoch habayi mipnima heichin. He prepared the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, in the inside of the house. What was the purpose of that? Letitin Sham at Aram Brit Hashem, where you're going to put the Ark of the Covenant of God. It continues to give us the measurements and the materials and the decorations. There is wood, there's gold, there's golden chains. It tells us verses 23 to 28, Chaf Gimel through Chaf Ches, the measurements of the Kruvim. They were wood and they were covered in gold, different than what we learn about in Truma and what was in the Mishkan. We furthermore know that there were braided cherubs, palm trees, and carved flowers on the walls all around. They were plated with gold. Then the end of the parak tells us about the doors that he made, what kind of wood he made them from, and also plated with gold. And finally, we come to the end of the parak. Okay, again, because of time, we can't go through. It's a long parak. There's Lamed Ches, 38 psukim, and there's a lot of details. Again, it's measurements, doors, annex, walls, paneling, decorations, gauze. It's telling you the dimensions and everything that Shlomo built in the house for Hashem. And then we are told, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Bashana HaRevis, Yusar Beit Hashem, Biyarach Ziv. That's where we already started. In the fourth year of King Shlomo's reign, the foundation of the house of Hashem was founded in the month of Ziv. We already spoke about Ziv. And now I want to talk about the next month, Ubashana Ha'achas Esrei. And in the 11th month, Be'yarech Bul, in the month of Bul, Beis Vav Lamed, Hu Achodesh Hashmini, that's the 8th month, counting from Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, El Tishrei, Cheshvan, it's a month of Cheshvan. Bull is Cheshvan. Kala Habayit, the house was completed. L'chol Devarav, u'l'chol Mishpatav, according to all the components, the instructions, and the specifications. Vayivineu Shavashonim, it took 7 years to build the house of Hashem. So it was started in the month of Ziv, Iyar, we already explained the month of radiance, and it was completed in the month of Bul, which is Cheshvan, the 8th month, counting from Nisan. I wanted to suggest, why is the month of Cheshvan called Bul? Once we go back to Sefer Bereishis now, okay? Perek Vav, Pasuk Yod Zayin, Pasuk Noach. Va'ani hinini mevi et hamabul, mayim ala arts. God says to Noach, and by the way, I found it was interesting, it was a month of Bul that the Mabul starts, and it was after Hashem gave Noach all the dimensions and instructions for building the ark. I thought it was very, very interesting. And I am bringing a Mabul of water upon the earth, the Shachei Kol Basar, to destroy all flesh, that there is spirit of life in him. Why was it called a Mabul? So Rashi says, Shabila et hakol, it decayed everything. Shabilbel et hakol, it confused everything. Shahovi et hakol, it transported everything from high to low. In other words, the flood waters, Bila et hakol, decayed everything. Bilbel et hakol, confused, mixed up everything. Hovil et hakol min hagavoh l'namuch, transported everything from up to down. That is Rashi to Perek Vav, Pasuk Yitzayin and Sefer Bereishis. So Mabul, Bul, is confusing everything, mixing up everything. It is reminiscent of the flood waters. Now, when did the flood begin? Pasuk Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yitzayin and Bereishis, B'shana sheish miyoshana lechai noach b'chodesh Hasheni, b'shiva asar yam nechodesh, in the 600th year of the life of Noach, in the second month, on the 17th of the month. What is the second month? Rashi says, b'chodesh Hasheni, Rabbi Eliezer, Omar Zemar Cheshvan. Rabbi Yoshua, Omar Zeir. So Rabbi Eliezer says the flood started in Cheshvan. What is the name of the month? Bull, after the Mabul. It decayed everything, confused everything, moved everything from top to bottom. It's very interesting that the Beit HaMikdash was finished in the month of Bull, which is Cheshvan, which is named after the Mabul. Why? Because remember Hashem said to Shlomo, if you go in my ways and follow my chukim and my mishpatim and my mitzvot and you do them, then I will dwell amongst the children of Israel and I will not abandon my nation Israel. Ergo, if we don't go in the ways of Hashem, Rachman al-Tzan, and we don't do the mitzvot and the chukim and the mishpatim and go in the ways, and the opposite will be true, and then there will be confusion to all, upheaval to all, Rachman al-Tzan, and turning over. Oh. And that's the lesson of the Beit HaMikdash. It's contingent upon our actions. Hashem says it straight out to Shlomo in our parak. Psukim Yod Aleph through Yod Gimel. We read the psukim and we translated them. It's dependent upon us. So it was finished in the month of Bul, because we should always remember the Mabul. The sanctity of the Shechina dwelling amongst us is dependent upon us and our actions. It was begun in the month of Ziv. It was finished in the month of Bul. When we go in the ways of Hashem, Asuli Mikdash v'Shachanti B'tocham. Thank you so much, everyone, for learning with me. Have a great day. Kol Tov to all. Our learning is dedicated anonymously as a zechus for our Torah leaders across the world. May Hashem grant them the koach and wisdom to lead Klal Yisrael and bring us closer to Hashem and the coming of Mashiach b'mehira b'yameinu. Amen. Thank you so much for learning with me. I look forward to continuing tomorrow. Bezor Hashem.